Lift off.
All right, it's Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I'm Nima Vanati. We've also got Michael W. Dean, my interweb friend. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm far more than your interweb friend. We've spent a lot of time in the same room building the information superhighway side by side with our sleeves rolled up, toiling like manly men. And I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from my windowless bunker. I was trapped in my windowless bunker for about a week because, you know, we got a quarter inch of snow and it didn't trap me at all.
Snow in September, man. That's early for Wyoming, isn't it?
I actually got about 3 inches. You know what I've been told is that I've lived here 4 years and you lived here 1 or 2 years before that. I've been told that it's normal for Wyoming, but for the last 6 years, it hasn't really done it. Until October or so. Mm-hmm. Well, October is pretty early for most of the country. But yeah, and today is my wife and my 7th wedding anniversary. That's kind of cool.
Congratulations. We wish you many more.
Thank you. And we shared a tender moment and wept with joy together watching the launch of the SpaceX rocket on TV. And we wept with joy because it is a private rocket, and people say, but without the government, who would launch the rockets? Well, apparently SpaceX would, and the idea of private industry doing something that most people think is only possible with big science and lots of taxes made us weep with hopefulness, and it was a good thing.
Yes, well, it's certainly better than NASA doing it, I will grant you that. And it's actually not the first time SpaceX has done this. They sent a payload. It's the
first time I've seen it live.
First time you've seen it.
Like it was the countdown, you know, 10, 9, 10 to 0. And then they switched the camera to the camera on the rocket, watching it leave Earth. It was very beautiful. We held hands and wept and looked into each other's eyes lovingly with hope for the future, with hope for a future where people aren't forced at gunpoint by taxation to engage in things they don't want to engage in.
Ah, okay. Well, on May 22nd, 2012, so last year, they marked the first time a private company sent a spacecraft to the space station. And what they're doing now with this Falcon 9 V1.1, I think that's what it's called, is they're trying to continue to perfect that and have it be a recoverable or reusable type of spacecraft to where eventually they could send more than payloads, but also people around to near-Earth orbit and all that kind of good stuff. The catch, though, is that they do have a contract with NASA. In 2006, NASA did award them a COTS, or a Commercial Orbital Transportation Services contract, to design and demonstrate the launch system. So
basically, you're ruining my moment with my wife by telling me that the government is just outsourcing their tyranny to private industry. However, isn't there a real private space organization run by Richard Branson?
Richard Branson, yeah, Virgin Galactic. That's farther removed from any kind of government intervention, as far as I know. I could be wrong. I'm not an expert on any of this stuff. But yeah, and they actually have a pretty ambitious plan, a few ambitious plans. In the next few years, they want to start basically a space tourism program.
Nice.
Where they will send rich people into space to travel in orbit. I think the price tag right now for a ticket's going to be like $200,000. So not doable for the average person, but definitely doable by enough people. And Branson brings up a good point because somebody sort of pressed him on this, like, oh, well, what's that going to do for anybody? And he brought up the point, and I brought this up in a blog post too on freedomfiends.com/blog, that when air travel first started, the tickets were really expensive and only the really wealthy could do it. But because the really wealthy wanted to do it so bad, they did it. And the fact that they were paying into that system let the companies invest more in capital goods, and it gave them a revenue stream to where eventually they could start knocking those prices down to where we're at this point. And in fact, I think it was like 10, 20 years after flight started that it was cheap enough for, you know, first the almost wealthy and then just regular middle class Joes like you and me to take a flight.
Well, that's true with all technologies. The first adopters drive down the price of things. I mean, I can remember in like 1994, no, 95 or 96, my friend had one of the first commercially available DVD burners. And it was like, It was huge. I mean, it was like, it looked like an old stereo, and it was, you know, it was like 7 inches tall, a rack mount space wide and a rack mount space deep, and weighed like 30 pounds. And it cost him like $2,400. And
wow.
Blank CDs.
Back in 1995 money.
Yeah. This is a CD burner, not DVD, if I said DVD. But yeah, I remember like going to his house with a zip drive of stuff I needed burned to a CD, and I had to go like buy a blank CD for $10 and take it over to his house.
$10 for a blank CD?
Yeah, and sometimes it failed. Like the first one he tried failed, and I had to go and like come back the next day with another blank CD. And now CD burners are like, they're included in everything, but if you need to buy one, if you need to buy one, they're like $17 or something. They give them away practically.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, a lot of technology, like you and I basically have, you know, full service recording studios in our home. And when I played in bands back in the '80s, to go into a recording studio, you had to pay, you know, between $50 and $300 an hour for the room, plus sometimes pay the engineer, plus sometimes pay him, you know, the producer points on the record sales. We did that on the Warner Brothers record. And I mean, a recording studio was a room with between $250,000 and $5 million worth of equipment in it. And you and I have about $2,000 or $3,000 worth of equipment each and can do everything those recording studios could do. So it comes down, man. And
we don't have reverb rooms, but we have software for that.
Yeah, that probably sampled and made algorithms in the rooms in those studios. Like some of them, they will go to the room of a famous studio and sample the attributes of the room and then put it into software. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And microwaves, I mean, from what I've heard, back when microwaves first came out, they were like the price of a decent car. And now that at Walmart,
$50. And they gave you cancer. Yeah.
Or they were K-cups.
They were directed energy weapons. Oh, there you and go. Your K-cups. All right.
Oh,
go on.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually going to get one soon because I realized, you know, when they first came out, you know, you had to buy the Keurig and it was expensive, and then other companies got in on it. You know, this is why reverse engineering and copying other people's ideas is such a great thing, because then the other company, you know, I don't want to say lesser companies, but companies jump into the market to provide a lower cost product that does the same thing. And so now instead of spending $170 on a Keurig machine, I can spend $40 on a Hamilton Beach machine that'll do the same thing. And this kind of stuff is what drives
it's the market,
economic
man.
Growth.
Yeah, you know? And if everything was centrally planned and governments controlled everything like they'd like to, computers would still fill a room of a university floor, cost $10 million, and require a team of scientists to program them and use vacuum tubes and be really slow. Or at least, you know, everything except the vacuum tube part, probably. And I said yesterday that everybody on Earth most people on Earth are far richer than anybody on Earth was, you know, 40 years ago, even rich people, because everybody has a supercomputer in their pocket now. You know, literally, like the cell phone you have has more computing power than what NASA used to launch the first space rocket.
Yeah, I think even the original Nintendo Game Boy had that amount of computing power, and that was in like 1993.
Yeah,
with black and white screen and 8-bit music.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't understand is that computers back in the day, even if you could get access to them and knew enough math to program them, you didn't just type stuff into them and it came out. Like, I remember the first time I used a computer was 1974, and it was a mainframe in New Hampshire at Dartmouth College when my sister was going there. And it was like, you'd go in, I mean, you basically used a dumb terminal that connected to a big mainframe somewhere, and it was time sharing. Like, basically, you had to write your program out and then put it into the computer, and it would get queued, and sometime during the night, your program would run and spit out the data on a printout sheet, and the next day, you'd get it. And you had to go to these scientists who kind of were like Moses between you and the technology. These guys in lab coats, you know, who all had the ego of Sheldon Cooper. And that was, you know, there wasn't an app for that. Let me put it that way.
Right. Yeah, good point. But yeah, what Richard Branson wants to do is take this concept of things getting cheaper and eventually have it be to where space travel is, you know, something that the average person can do. And then he wants to use the revenue from that to fund his big dream, which is putting a colony on Mars. In fact, they just stopped taking applications for the first Mars colony. And I think somewhere around 200,000 people from all over the world applied to be part, to be shot onto Mars and live out the rest of their lives there. And, you know, maybe it'll end up like, you know, one of the first American colonies where everybody dies. I don't know.
Hell on wheels, but it'll be hell on Mars.
Right, right. But that human desire and passion for frontier and is so important. And the thing about frontiers is that's one of the places where true freedom can and does exist. And, you know, Scott Beezer's amazing story, Quantum Vibe, that's pretty much the whole concept of it is the – he's not a mad scientist, but the genius main character is trying to find a way to get to new frontiers because the solar system has already been harnessed for human travel, and they haven't figured out a way to get outside of the solar system. So he's trying to find ways to get outside of this dimension and put humans elsewhere.
I wonder if Edward Snowden applied to go to Mars. I wonder if he could seek asylum on Mars. Probably not.
Well, there's nobody in charge of Mars. That's the whole point. He wouldn't have to seek asylum. He would just go. Yeah. I wonder though why Branson would skip the moon. It seems like you would if it's supposed to be a proof of concept for off-world colonization, you might want to try something a little bit easier, closer to home.
I have a theory. His target date is 23, right?
2023. Yeah.
Yeah. Advances happen so quickly in things like that that I think if he got it, went to the moon first, I think that he's afraid that Apple computers would get to Mars at the same time. You know, I saw a documentary about Steve Jobs. It was a total hagiography, like, oh, praise Jobs. Shortly after he died, it was made. And they interviewed Branson in it. You know, and Branson and Jobs are two of the top five fun-loving billionaires, as they say on The Simpsons, as opposed to the old brooding type clutching their brandy with
release the hounds,
skeletal-like kind of fingers in their cavernous mansions like Mr. Burns. Yeah, the fun-loving billionaires who, you know, jump out of balloons and throw money and love to the world, those kind of guys who, if they could just become totally libertarian, they're almost there, but if they could just go there, they'd be fine and they would really help the world. But yeah, he was really harmed when iTunes came out because it really put his Virgin Record stores out of business. So yeah, I think there is some competition between these fun-loving billionaires.
I think so. Speaking of that, we'll have some market competition and then return with more Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Wow, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Hala.
How you doing, Mr. Dean?
Hala.
I'm in my windowless bunker. The quarter inch of snow finally melted, and I can get out. And We are here working on the Freedom Fiends. We're back to the Tyranny Mines, and we're not mining tyranny. We're digging through the tyranny to get to the liberty. And one of the things I find when I dig through the tyranny and get to the liberty is that the Freedom Fiends ordered way too many buttons. So if you order Freedom Fiends buttons before Halloween, you'll get twice as many. You'll get 10 for the price of 5, which is $10. Yes. So you get 10 for 10 with shipping.
It's our first annual Halloween celebration. Or is it Fenoween?
It's Fenoween. It's both. And it's or $16 to Canada. It's the only place we ship is U.S. and Canada. And, we also need a C-sharp programmer. And, you know, it costs money to maintain our Radio Liberty Ministry, and we do take donations in cash and Bitcoin. So go to the freedomfiends.com site and click on the spinning coin on any post if you want to donate cash or Bitcoin. And you can also be sure to shop at our Amazon link, please. It doesn't cost you anything, and we get a little taste from Amazon. And that's how we just bought Nima a new piece of equipment. What's your new piece of equipment, Nima?
It's a Furman power conditioner. So, it is supposed to reduce, interference from radio frequencies and other electronic noise so that you have audio gear that's not prone to buzzing or weird electrical noise in the signal, all that kind of bad, bad stuff.
Yeah, it shields the interference from that directed energy weapon in the flower delivery truck that's parked in front of your house.
right. So I really appreciate that, and that is, of course, from Fiends Money. And Fiends, we definitely appreciate you. We mostly, for the vast majority of Fiend Money gets spent back on the Fiends so that we can get better and better and spread the liberty further and further.
You know, somebody asked why the last episode before last was called The Growing Problem of Stowaway Cats, and we never explained that. We had a picture of you with your future child baby carrying sari or whatever it is in front of you.
It's called a Moby wrap.
Yeah, and you had your cat in there. You're testing it out. But stowaway cats, here's the thing. Cats must flow. We have a bunch of cats. You have a bunch of cats. You have a dog. If you shut doors in houses, cats can't flow, and they scratch on the door, whether they're inside it or outside it. They want to flow. And if you don't let cats flow, sometimes you try to clear out a room and shut the door and you go to sleep, and you don't know that there's a stowaway cat. There's a cat curled up in the closet on a pile of clothes. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the night, they'll come out and start scratching at things. So cats like must flow. Yeah. And there is a growing problem in our nation of stowaway cats.
My cat flows way too much. At least one of my cats flows way too much. He flowed in our baby's bassinet the other day, and so my wife has not been giving him any love lately.
Flowed? You mean upset. Entered it or
no?
Oh no!
Flowed. He flowed into the bottom of the baby bassinet.
That's not what I meant by flowed. I don't mean.
I know. I was trying to find a good way to say it on the radio, but yes.
Okay. Well, we do need a C-sharp programmer, and we'll find a way to program your cat to not flow in that sense of the word. So we're talking about without the government, who would launch the rockets? Apparently SpaceX and even more so Richard Branson, the fun-loving billionaire. You don't need a government
Virgin
for that,
Galactic.
Man. Don't need a government for that.
And this isn't just crazy talk on Branson's part. There's a picture from 3 days ago in Time magazine of 300 astronauts, 300 people that have signed up for this and are ready to pay Richard Branson to go into space. And they're sitting right next to or standing right next to the Virgin Galactic spacecraft. And they're going to get launched into space. Branson says he wants to put more astronauts into space in 2014 or in this next year than NASA did ever.
Nice.
And that's his goal. Or I guess it's 2015. But anyway, the first year that they launch, he wants to put more astronauts into space than NASA ever has.
So maybe the government will shut down and Branson can take over everything. That'd be a good thing. You know, in that 1970s style of movie making where there's anti-utopias in the not too distant future, which are usually around now, there's often no government and everything's run by giant corporations that act worse than governments. But it wouldn't necessarily work that way because large businesses are different than corporations. Corporations can only exist with governments. Do you want to explain that, Nemo?
Yeah, I mean, think about what a corporation is. How do you get your business to be incorporated? You go to the government and you get documents. And what it is the legal status that protects you from liability. And so that you can take as much money out when you want, you know, to pay bonuses and pay salaries and all that kind of stuff. And your expenses aren't taxed. But then if something goes south, if something goes wrong, the people who started the LLC or the corporation, they're not on the hook for that. You know, the CEO doesn't lose his house or his car. He doesn't have to personally pay everybody who lost money on it out of his bank account. So it's just a legal government protection. I don't think something like that would exist in any type of free market, at least not the way it does now.
And they're in bed with governments to where governments use their guns to help corporations.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Yo, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I'm Nima Badati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's good. We're having quite a windstorm here outside the windowless bunker. I'm looking through the camera monitors of the windowless bunker. And I just watched a branch that weighs like 100 pounds fall off a cottonwood tree in the backyard and just barely miss taking out the cable that delivers my cable internet, which allows me to talk to the GCNs and the satellites and the NEMAs and the radios out there in Radioland. It was pretty cool.
Yikes, man. That's scary. I don't know. That's cool. I mean, I guess it was cool to watch, and it's cool that it missed you.
Hey, if you don't like Wyoming, if you don't like wind, you shouldn't be in Wyoming, man. If you don't like wind, get out of the Wyoming.
Yeah. I remember when I first arrived at the TV station, because that's where I went first, directly driving from Austin, Texas, through the snow in Nebraska in a tiny Hyundai with a roof bag on top of it with all my possessions in it being blown around the icy roads. I first got there and I remember seeing a sign, you know, just a cute little sign on somebody's desk that said Wyoming windsock. And it was a picture of a chain blowing in the wind, like a big, heavy,
a logging
nautical chain. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That's the thing. They say Wyoming is where they use logging chains for windsocks.
Yep.
And today is a quite a kinetic event. It's not cold. It's like 55 degrees out. It's sunny, but there are like, you know, 50 to 60 mile an hour wind gusts. It's pretty nifty.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I also remember seeing they were building this bank and they had the frame all up and all the wood and everything ready to go. They just needed to, you know, install the walls and all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, I drove by it every day on my way to work. And then one weekend morning, I was on my way to produce the weekend show, and I looked, and it was just – it had collapsed. The wind had literally blown it over. And so those folks had to start all over again, and I was like, oh, man.
I don't want to laugh at that, but wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. Wyoming is a kinetic event. And, you know, I really think that if they harnessed all the wind in Wyoming – they could just get off of Middle Eastern oil. Heck, if they harvested the wind, uranium, and oil in Wyoming, they could at least power Wyoming and there's a bunch of states up here. It's all the red states where people like to tote guns. All the leave me alone. I don't want people on the coast telling me what to do. You know, all these cool places like Wyoming, parts of Idaho, the Dakotas, Utah. I mean, really, it's like all the energy, all the dead dinosaur bones that are squished into oil are all under us. We don't need to go to the Middle East and kill people. And we're going to get into that, too, because they're talking about a government shutdown. And it's not really going to shut down. I mean, it's going to be it would be national parks might shut down. You won't be able to get a passport. You won't be able to get out. Get out. If you don't love America, get out. You won't be able to get a government loan processed. But, you know, there's still going to be cops. The bomb factories are going to still be churning out bombs to kill children in the Middle East in wedding parties because Obama is a baby killer. There's still going to be cops arresting people for guns, peaceful people for guns and powders and herbs in their pockets. And there's still going to be tyranny. The government is not going to shut down. And I heard Peter King, horrible, horrible guy, Peter King, on TV today talking about why the other Republicans need to stop fighting this and just lay back and think of Washington, D.C. Just lay back and think of Washington, D.C. and let it happen.
D.C.
You know, he's basically saying that. And Peter King is like the worst Republican. He's a New York Republican. He wants to take your guns. He was he gave money to the Irish Republican Army, the IRA, who are considered a terrorist organization by the United States federal government. He gave money to those terrorists, and he's on the Terrorism Watch Congressional Subcommittee. I guess he knows his subject, but man, that's scary. That's government. And when you vote, when you think like, well, I need to vote Republican because the Democrats are horrible, you're voting for people like Peter King, man.
Yeah, well, like everything in the government, the terrorist watch list or the terrorist list or whatever they call it nowadays, that's based on politics,
fluid, man.
It's not based on truth or facts or anything like that. There's a few different examples here. One is the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, which is definitely, if you look at it objectively, a terrorist organization. They are anti-current Iran regime. You know, they fight against the
even the new one,
the Ayatollah.
There's a new one. Things are going to change. Obama talked to him on the phone. They're Facebook friends now.
Well, here's the thing. Is there a cult who doesn't eschew violence to get what they want? And they were on the terrorist watch list forever and ever and ever for a long, long time. And they give so much money to people like John McCain and that sort of politician to lobby so that they can get aid back from the U.S. government to fight a covert actions against the Iranian regime that they were actually taken off the terrorist list, I believe. And it was a big lobbying thing. And then look at some more hypocrisy here. You've got
terrorists have lobbyists.
The Mujahideen-e-Khalq does. Yeah.
Wow. Like they have do they have an office on K Street in Washington D.C.?
I don't know if they have an office. Maybe they do. Let's
So anyway, what are the ramifications of this? You were talking about how they are no longer on the terror watch list. Aren't they being funded by the U.S. government?
I don't know, man. It's so
some people
secretive.
Are. I mean, some of you know the rebels in Syria aren't some of them former people, you know, who are shouting death to America and lobbing bombs.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. That's been reported by as mainstream sources as Time that a lot of these folks are people who fought against the Americans in the Iraq War. Just cross the border. You know, it's like going from Texas to Mexico or Arizona to Mexico or vice versa. It's not hard. Look at a map. They're right next to each other. Just go over there to support their brothers in arms against the Syrian Assad regime. There are people that were considered mortal enemies of the U.S. Army, and now Obama is sending weapons, guns, money to them. You know, at first it was through proxies like Qatar and Saudi Arabia, and now I think they're doing it directly. You know, after the chemical attack that was allegedly done by Assad. They have more of a ability to do that politically, at least. And they're so hypocritical, and it's so that dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits, biting its tail, that there was recently an Iraq war veteran, Eric Haroon, and he had been fighting for the al-Nusra Front in Syria. Originally, he was fighting for the Free Syrian Army, but he was captured as a prisoner by the al-Nusra Front and then realized that, hey, he's on our side, and so they let him fight for them. He was arrested by Americans and charged with conspiracy to use a shoulder-launched missile, you know, an RPG. But he was acquitted. He was given time served. I guess he wasn't acquitted, but he wasn't sentenced to any jail time. The American courts gave him time served. But he did sit in jail for fighting on the side of the same people that Obama is now supplying with weapons and money.
And then there's Charlie Wilson, the Texas politician who's no longer alive. But back during the Reagan administration, he worked with the CIA to covertly, you know, in between snorting lots of cocaine and being an international playboy and sleeping with lots of exotic women all over the world on the government's dime. He armed the Muj, and they some of them turned into who, Nima?
Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. So basically the CIA or the United States government or factions within helped create Al-Qaeda. You know, it kind of goes back to that thing of the mongoose problem. Like, they had a rat problem in Hawaii, so they brought in mongooses, and they ate all the rats, but then they ate the cats, they ate some of the babies, and now they can't get rid of the mongooses. And that's, I kind of look at that as the problem with police, too. Like, you know, there's criminals, so the government needs to make police, and the police end up,
become the criminals.
Yeah, I mean, do things like, give some examples of police abuse you've heard about recently. Other than just the fact that they kick in doors of people who are peaceful and take this stuff
and
put
them in a cage. There was the guy in Arizona that the SWAT team raided, and the guy in Arizona, he was a former Iraq War veteran too, and so he knew there was a home invasion going on. He grabbed his rifle like you would do, like any gun guy would do. He grabbed his rifle, hid behind a couch, and was pointing it at the door. And as soon as the SWAT team comes in, they see the rifle muzzle pointed at them, and they just open fire, rip the guy to shreds, and then let him sit there and bleed out for hours before they called any kind of paramedics, because they were too scared that something might happen. They were too scared for their fragile little SWAT team lives. And this kind of stuff is not unusual. Who is it?
It was a drug raid, right?
Supposedly they were serving a warrant that was related to drugs. But it was the wrong address. It was the wrong guy. And then they searched the house and didn't find any kind of drugs.
And remember, people, the war on drugs is training for the war on guns. So you shouldn't support the war on drugs. You should be against it, even if you don't do drugs. We don't do drugs, but we're against the war on drugs because it's immoral. I mean, it's kicking in the doors of people who are peaceful and killing them or throwing them in a cage. And there's no constitutional basis for it. There's no legal basis for it. It's kind of that thing of like, well, it's been happening, so it's legal. But even if you can't wrap your head around the moral reason that you should be against the war on drugs, if you're a gun owner like we are, you should be against it because those guys kicking in doors are practicing for kicking in your doors when enough people are brainwashed by the media to vote against guns and they outlaw them. Those people are going to kick in your door. And if you think you're going to fight some American Revolution 2, no, it's going to be Ruby Ridge 2, man. There's going to be 1,000 Ruby Ridges. So do not support that in any way. Speak out against it. Learn about it. Watch our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Go to gunsandweed.com. Learn about the war on drugs and how it feels. The war on guns and how it's training for the war on guns, and be against it, man. Be against it 100%.
Yeah. And the problem with all these things is the lack of voluntary or consensual action. Is if you don't want drugs in your community, then persuade people to not do drugs. Build structures to where kids would rather do other things than drugs. You know, own property. And, you know, if you own private property, then it's well within your right to exclude any person or people. So exclude the drug addicts. Maybe you have people take a drug test before they move into your community.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. That's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And then it keeps the problem from being a one-size-fits-all, let's punish everybody because we're treating everybody like kindergartners. And same thing with foreign policy. You know, if John McCain wants so much for the Syrian rebel terrorists to win out against Assad, then why doesn't he grab a gun and go over there and fight? You know, there was this guy, Howard Conklin Baskerville, who's a really interesting story. I had no idea about him. My friend in Iran on Facebook, Johnny Dollar Jr., I think is his moniker, pointed this guy out. He was an American teacher. He was a missionary, too. He actually went to university at Princeton with Woodrow Wilson, but somehow he didn't get as statist as him. He was born in North Platte, Nebraska, so not too far from where you're at, Michael.
Up the river.
He went to Iran. He went to a missionary school in Tabriz to explain, I guess, Christianity to Iranians. And then some really interesting things happened. And we'll get to that in just a bit after we return from the market.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Welcome back. It's time for more Fiends serving the Fiends. This is the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean across the intertubes from me. And so, yeah, I wanted to continue a little bit of my discussion of Howard Conklin Baskerville. We were talking about how, you know, if you want to go over and support some revolution in some other country, do it yourself. Don't force other people's kids into dying for your cause. And that's exactly what Howard Conklin Baskerville did. He was a missionary from America, born in North Platte, Nebraska, educated at Princeton, went to Iran, taught tennis and English, history, geometry, and even directed a student play of The Merchant of Venice. So bringing Western culture to an Iranian school.
And Christianity.
And they loved him. He was a great guy. In fact, now they make Persian rugs and tapestries with him on it. They have statues. And the reason they do that is because he got together a group of hundreds of people, volunteers, to fight against the royalists in Iran's constitutional revolution in the early 1900s. And that's another really interesting point is in L. Neil Smith's book, The Probability Brooch, it's, you know, a counterfactual of what would happen if America was actually free, i.e. George Washington was killed during the Whiskey Rebellion. And in the wars, like the world wars, they're not really world wars, but in all these kinds of wars that did happen in our universe, in the L. Neil Smith probability brooch universe, the American contribution or the North American contribution was volunteer armies. There were people who got together under no government, raised their own funds, used their own weapons, and went to fight for what they considered was freedom of another people or prevent the invaders from ever getting far enough to invade North America. And this guy, Baskerville, did exactly that. He got together a group of hundreds of volunteers and they went and fought against the royalists. He was actually killed by a sniper bullet. But Iranians consider this American guy a hero, a martyr in their culture. And so Johnny Dollar put this in response to the possible warming of tensions between the American and the Iranian governments. And he says, you know, while there may be some warming of tensions between the governments of the two nations, the people of the two nations have a long history of cooperation and goodwill.
Yeah. Yep. And did you finish on talking about Eric Huron, who was sentenced by a federal judge, and what we were going to talk about how what he was sentenced for by a federal judge is something the United States government does all day, every day?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that that's in the end why the judge or the court system ended up giving him nothing but time served, because I think they would have thought it way too hypocritical to actually sentence him to, spending more time in jail when the official policy of the federal government is to support the same rebels that this Eric Haroon guy was fighting, like boots on the ground, like not as an American Army guy, but just as a regular Joe boots on the ground.
Well, I don't think that they care if they are hypocritical. I think they care if they're perceived as hypocritical.
Yeah.
All governments everywhere throughout history.
That's true. That's true. That's a distinction, because all governments everywhere throughout history really do rest on the consent of the governed, even if they are a totalitarian as it gets. The masses of people still have to have some consent to it, because otherwise it's like the tiny dot, like Larkin Rose points out in his great video, is the ruling class is vastly outnumbered by the masses of people. And so unless enough of those masses of people believe in the storyline of the government, then it will fall apart. It's just a matter of time.
I like the comments on this article. And I don't think they're from like anarchists. I think they're from Democrats and Republicans, but they're all heavily questioning the government. I like seeing that. This one says, but why aren't Obama and the head of the CIA charged for aiding the rebels? Why aren't they charged for giving supplies of arms to the rebels? The next one says, the U.S. government can do whatever it wants because it is a lawless organization. It's rigged. If you look at the comments on anything these days, it's kind of heartening. And we're going to talk when we get back in the second hour about how American beliefs are shifting towards truth in people just not believing that government can solve their problems.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to tell, because these people who are saying comments like that, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how I think. So I automatically project that, oh, they must be, fellow travelers, libertarians.
Voluntarists. Yeah.
Voluntarists. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe it is. But I think the point is, if you're going to comment on these and your comments are truth based, you're saying the right thing, maybe don't point out your political affiliations. Because if we're convinced that you're not some kind of libertarian like Michael is, then it helps everybody else to say, oh, well, that's the right thing, no matter what your political affiliation is. We'll talk more about that when we get back from the market here on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
All right, welcome back to Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. I am Nima Fadati here in Austin, Texas, out in the Cowboy State, which is not Texas. In fact, it's Wyoming. We've got Michael W. Dean.
We're the Cowboy State and Texas isn't. This is Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. In particular, I'm in Wyoming, and it's time for us to go hour two of the Freedom Fiends and go back to the tyranny mines. And that's where we dig through the tyranny and find the liberty underneath.
Work.
And we do take donations here. Our liberty mission, our liberty movement, our liberty ministry does require money to keep it going, and if you want, you can send us some. It's not government voluntary with a gun to your head, the taxation. It's you help the people you want with what's left over after the government steals it. So you can go to freedomfiends.com, click on the spinning coin on any post, and donate in cash or Bitcoin, or you can use our Amazon link. It doesn't cost you anything, and we get a little taste. Or you can go to Midas Resources through our Midas link and buy some gold or silver. They are a good hedge against, I wouldn't even say inflation, they're a good hedge against government. And yeah, we got a new ad. We got two ads, one by Nima, one by myself. The one of them's already inserted. The other one got in too late, so I'm just going to play it as a live read here. This is Nima's Midas Resource ad.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Yeah. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal Peter Kings?
I am no longer beholden to Peter King.
Yeah.
Nor was I ever.
My dad is. That's my dad's Congress. One of my dad's Congress critters.
He's from New York.
Yeah, I know. I know, but you know, that's what happens when people say, well, you gotta vote Republican because the Democrats are horrible. Any Republican is, that's not true. They're all horrible. And some are more horrible than others. And Peter King is a horrible Republican. He's a horrible person. Horrible, tyrannical person.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I still like the thing of who's worse. I can't tell. They're both worse than each other all the time.
It's like there's an old album by Deep Purple. It's Live in Tokyo, and it's a double live record, which was a big thing in the 70s. You youngsters probably don't know about
what
that.
What does double live mean?
It's two LPs in one sleeve for about the price of one LP and a half, and it's a double live record, Live in Tokyo. And there's a place on there where between songs, the guitar player says over the mic, I need more in the monitors. And then someone else says, yes, everything louder than everything else. Yeah, the left and the right, they're tyranny, everything louder than everything else. It's kind of like a pre-Spinal Tap moment. You know, I saw this documentary, I talked about it recently, where it's called The Other F Word, which is about punk rockers who are middle-aged now and their fathers.
Yeah.
And the other F word is fatherhood. Did we talk about this?
We did. Yeah. If you have more on it, though, we can go off.
Well, just a line I really like in there. They actually have one of the guys from Devo in there, Mark Mothersbaugh, and who don't really fit in with the punk rock type music that most of these people are, but they predate it. And you know that it's like what the Offspring heard that they first heard that was weird. And they went, Devo, that's different. Because everybody did. All of us. I saw Devo on Saturday Night Live when I was like 15. And I was like, what is this? I am intrigued and wish to subscribe to your newsletter. It wasn't like rock. And he had a great comment. He said, it doesn't matter what kind of music you're playing. When you're on tour, everything is fine. Final Tap.
Now, I don't get that as much as you probably do, because you were on tour for years and years and years and years.
Well, you also haven't seen Spinal Tap.
I
can't believe you haven't seen Spinal Tap.
I've seen references to it. I mean, there's a Simpsons episode about it.
Yeah,
I've seen that. Simpsons did it. Well
some of the guys on Spinal
Tap
voice some of the things on just every scenario. Like Spinal Tap just like nails every cliche that could ever happen on tour, and everything going wrong and everyone being ridiculous in a really comical way, and nails it to the point where if you've ever been in a band, people quote Spinal Tap all the time in a band. And it's not just metal bands. It's any kind of band. You've seen Spinal Tap and you quote it. I mean, probably rappers do it when they're on tour. Or probably. They might quote CB4.
I thought the only thing they quote CB4 or Scarface, depending on what kind of mood they're in.
So we talked about tyranny in the first hour, and we're going to go to media. We're already into media in the second hour. We're going to talk about Breaking Bad, because tonight is the last ever Breaking Bad, and we're going to conjecture where we're going to sound like a couple old ladies talking about their soaps. We're going to conjecture.
Well, I think now that he's killed the meth gang, he's going to go after the white power gang because he's killed the Mexican.
It's kind of weird. It's we're talking about our soap operas, but it ain't your grandma's soap opera.
Everybody's talking about it, though. Like, even all sorts of other Liberty Media people and regular media people. The Daily Caller, of all people, has a two-page list of it's a complete list of all the deaths Walter White is responsible for, with photos. Now, Walt's level of responsibility is definitely arguable on some of these.
Is the Daily Caller a left-wing or right-wing site?
No, they're right-wing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're statist because they're, you know, the left wing would do the same thing. Any statist would probably say he's responsible for deaths he's not responsible for. And the biggest one I would argue with is the top picture here is Jesse's girlfriend, Jane. Walt stood there while Jane died of a heroin overdose that she injected into herself, and he stood there. He could have saved her. See, I don't think that that means he's responsible.
Maybe he's not the main person responsible, but don't you think he shares some kind of responsibility?
If he did, it was self-defense because she wanted to put him in a cage for the rest of his life. She was blackmailing him.
That's true. She and I had forgot about that, but I'm arriving at that point in my rewatching because I'm rewatching it before you know the actual last episode. I won't get to where I need to be, but
okay. Before this show started, I was looking out the window at the wind and I saw the two little kids next door with their dad. It was either a cell phone or like a Game Boy. It was some little chromed robot electronic device. And they were hitting it with a plastic baseball bat. These kids are like 6 or 7. They were hitting it with a plastic baseball bat, and when they couldn't break it, they threw it up on the roof. And it's probably still up there unless the wind blew it down. Am I responsible for the fact that that's up on the roof because I didn't stop getting ready for the show and run over and tell the guy? And if I don't go and tell him that his chromed robot turd was thrown on the roof by his kids, am I responsible? Is that like I stole it?
Well, also, you're not in the backyard with them. You're an outside observer. I mean, if you saw Jane dying from a window that you were a peeping Tom at.
Rear window.
I think you would share less responsibility than if you're in the actual room there. And all it takes for you to save the life is to turn her over.
Well, put it this way. If that guy knocks on my door and says, do you know what happened to my phone? I'll tell him. But I don't feel a need to go over and tell him.
All right. So maybe it goes back to the Walter White with Jane's death didn't violate the non-aggression principle, but he did maybe violate the YAD principle, the Yura principle, you know?
Yura Richard?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've seen a lot of Breaking Bad commentary blogs and forums where people just out and out say he killed her by doing nothing. And I just really want to challenge that. I really feel that is ridiculous. Yeah. You know, there are some states where it's against the law to not intervene when someone's committing a violent crime. And I think ridiculous.
Isn't that the last episode of Seinfeld is they all get put in jail because they don't stop a purse snatching?
Yeah, and the thing is interfering with someone committing a violent crime, you can end up in prison, man. I mean, I don't know what I'd do in those situations. There's a guy on YouTube who has something called Nuttin' Fancy. It's a very popular gun blog. I call him Nut Fancy just because I think it's kind of funny.
That's slander, sir.
Like Nut Fancy magazine, the people who love nuts, gun nuts. Yeah. But and he gets like 100,000 views on all his stuff. And he has a bunch of videos on what he calls the sheepdog principle, which basically says that every gun owner has the moral authority or the moral compulsion to protect people who don't have guns. I think that's ridiculous, man. I think that's ridiculous. If my neighbor were against guns and wanted to vote me into not having guns and someone ran into his house with guns, I would call 911, but it is not my job to go risk my life and risk getting thrown in a cage and risk getting shot to go protect someone who doesn't think that they should have guns to protect themselves.
Well, here's the other hypocritical thing about it is the Supreme Court says that cops, law enforcement agents, don't have an obligation to protect people when violent crimes are being committed against them. So how is it at all fair for you to say that regular citizens do have that obligation?
And that came out of a case where some woman was being home invaded, called the police while they were still outside, while the home invaders hadn't gotten in yet. She called the police. The dispatcher told the police, you know, someone's breaking into this house, gave them the address. And the cops literally stopped for donuts and coffee. And literally, you know, it was one of those rare cases where they literally could have saved the woman And they didn't, because they literally stopped for donuts and coffee. And her family, her husband, her survivors sued the police, and there was, it went to the Supreme Court, and they said that the police have a job and a duty to protect society as a whole, but they have no duty to protect any individual.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up now, because I really wonder, did this case happen before, or did the decision happen before Columbine, where there was a mass shooting and the cops just stood outside of the school scared?
It happened before Columbine.
Oh, yeah, it looks like on Wiki, Warren v. District of Columbia happened in 1981. So a good decade and a half before Columbine.
Yep. So they have no compulsion to protect you. Also, a large part of their job is stealing tax money to be able to oppress you. I mean, more and more.
Yeah.
You know, and even after this decision, there were a lot of cops back in the 80s who had a feeling of professionalism of, you know, I'm here to protect people. I'm the thin blue line. And there are still cops like that. But more and more, what cops do, it doesn't have anything to do with protecting people. It's kicking in doors and holding guns to the heads of people who have weed or have a gun with too many rounds in the magazine for their community's standards and doing things.
It's like what Sheriff Max said in our movie. It's taxation by citation is a lot of what they do, which he says violates the Eighth Amendment.
Yeah,
the fact that they can
excessive
force
punishment.
You. Excessive punishment. Yeah, they can take a day or more than a day's worth of pay, depending on the situation, out of your wallet directly, and you have no recourse just because you went a little bit over the posted speed limit.
Or the grass in your yard is a little too high.
Right, right.
Or you like old cars and collect old cars.
There you go.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com. Like Mr. Dean said, we are back on the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show, and you already know Michael Dean, and hopefully you know me too. I'm Nima Vedati.
And we're going to get to back to Breaking Bad, but we're going to save it for the next episode, probably the next segment, probably, because we have to announce when we're going to do it, because our board op, Shane, here at GCN, just got into it, and he hasn't seen all the episodes yet. So we have to give a spoiler alert, or he will just press mute, and you won't hear our show, because he doesn't want to hear it.
That's fair enough. But yeah, I guess we're going to go off on, you have some announcements about Bitcoin, is that right?
Yeah, we talked about how the Freedom Fiends mission, our ministry does, our Liberty ministry does cost money. And you can donate on the spinning coin on any post on freedomfiends.com, or you can use our Amazon link, or you can donate Bitcoins. And we didn't really explain what Bitcoins are. Bitcoin, and you can go to our Midas Resources link, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com and buy gold and silver and help the fiends. And Bitcoin, we didn't really explain. Bitcoin is a decentralized electronic currency that works outside of the purview or control of any government or corporation. It'd probably take a whole episode to really tell everything that there is to tell about it, but it's pretty easy to get involved. You can go to bitcoin.org or blockchain.info and get a free electronic Bitcoin wallet. And these are, the wallets are, they're not something you put in your pocket. They're an electronic software program that's free.
They're like an app.
Yeah, it's an app. And there is one, there are ones for phones. And our friend Davi Barker is doing a Bitcoin not bombs. It's his get Bitcoin wallets and hoodies for the homeless of San Francisco. So they
That's part of it. That's their new project. Bitcoin's Not Bombs is actually a pretty interesting organization that wants to basically cut the government out of charitable exchanges, at least give people the opportunity to that. So help companies that would donate hook them up with organizations that need donations and allow them to do this transaction without Federal Reserve notes, with simply Bitcoin, so that the tax man doesn't take some of the money, or so that you don't have to spend years and years trying to be compliant with your tax-free status. You can just get the ball rolling and take Bitcoins instead of having to worry about that government permission slip to be tax-free.
And he actually set it up that way because he tried to get 501c3 status, and the hoops were so incredible to be able to do a charitable organization. There was a real charitable organization to try to help poor people without, basically, instead of welfare, he would like to see private welfare. He'd like to see where it's not taken out of your paycheck at gunpoint, and the money doesn't go to the government, and the money doesn't go to the government building bombs out of your taxable charity, whatever. And he tried to do that the legal, correct, quote-unquote, air quotes, way, and it was just such an incredible impediment, and it would have taken years and required all sorts of hoop jumping and paper filing and paper reporting and frequent reporting, that he just said, F it, man, I'll just do it with Bitcoin, because Bitcoin, it doesn't really exist in a way that the government can know about, so it goes around the government. And you just do it. It's basically trading little complex numbers simply with software,
right,
and people pay money for them. They represent money. People assign a value to them, and it's a cool thing.
And a lot of the fear about it being regulated eventually, which there's kind of a push for that now, that I think would exclude Bitcoin to Bitcoin exchanges. As long as you don't go back into dollars from your Bitcoins, then it would still be out of the government view. I think the regulations that people fear would be more related to, okay, so I've got 3 Bitcoins and I want to get my $300 out of that, so I'm going to transfer that back to dollars. Then there might be some kind of government regulation to where you have to pay a chunk of that as taxes, or maybe they'd call it capital gains, I don't even know, but there'd be some kind of transfer fee to get your dollars back from your Bitcoins, is I think what people are worried about.
Yeah, and there's no setup fee to do it. You can get a Bitcoin wallet for free at bitcoin.org or blockchain.info and start experiencing this economy. That it's not even an underground economy, it's just outside of the Federal Reserve System note system, which we all know can be inflated at any point and is constantly. And if people start using more Bitcoins and not just hoarding silver and gold, but actually using them in trade, and old silver U.S. dimes are a really good way to do that. And you can buy those from Midas Resources and through gold.freedomfiends.com. And you can use them as actual currency. You know, they're worth about $2.50 each for the silver in them. They're a small enough commodity that they're easy to trade, unlike bricks of gold. And we encourage people to do that. I've done that. I've traded them. I traded them for some microphones. I've stored them. I've kept them. I've watched them increase in value. And they keep up with inflation. I mean, basically, an ounce of gold or silver has the buying power that it did 100 years ago.
Yep. And we'll have more Freedom Fiends after we return from the market in just a moment.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
It means live talk radio show. Uh-huh. I am Nima Vadavi, and uh-huh. You are Michael Dean. Is that correct?
I am. I'm Mr. Michael Dean, and we got a caller here, but while the delay dump builds, we're going to talk really quickly about our theories about how Breaking Bad's going to end. My theory is that Walt's going to come back from the Free State Project in New Hampshire. No, he was just in New Hampshire. He's going to get his machine gun, and he's going to shoot everybody in Uncle Jack's Nazi hideout, kill them all, free Jesse from the hole, from the windowless bunker they're keeping him in, give Jesse his money to give to his family. The DEA doesn't really have anything on Jesse because the two guys that had anything are dead. And you know how Hank is. He doesn't bring anything in until he's got all the facts. And I think that Walt is going to eat his ricin before he goes on the shooting spree, get arrested, and die quietly in custody, not speaking. There's two untied up ends there, though. There's Lydia. And who else is there? There's Lydia, and then there's the people from Grey Matter. I don't know that he's going to go after him or not, but that is what got him to not turn himself in and run back. What do
Elliot
you think?
And Gretchen.
What do you think, Nima?
I think everybody dies. I think definitely Walt dies. I don't know if he takes the ricin or not. I kind of think he'll go out in a blaze of glory. I think he's too proud, and that's kind of the whole concept, is his overweening pride. I mean, he's the archetypal tragic hero, and I've made the comment before on Facebook that he is going to be the new standard for what a tragic hero is, and I think because of that, he has to die at the end, and it has to be I guess it could be the ricin because that'd still be of his own doing, but it could also be, you know, a death by going in to try to kill the Nazis. And I don't think he'd survive that, man. I mean, those guys are stone cold, been doing it for years. The best killers that money can buy, kind of a thing. I mean, they made it happen to where 9 people died in prison within a 2-minute period. So I don't think Walt survives that.
Okay, I'll leave it at that with you. I like the everybody dies because that would kind of just fit into the kind of show it is. But I do think the ricin is going to be used because there's an old screenwriting saying, don't show a gun in the first act if you're not going to use it in the third act. And the ricin kind of is a gun. The ricin is a killing method, and they've shown it enough. And he went back and got it to where I think it's going to get used somehow on somebody. So let's go to the phones. Who do we have on the phones? On the Freedom Fiends.
Hi, this is Hesperus.
Hey, Hesperus. Oh, Hesperus is one of the writers on the Freedom Fiends blog, and he's writing a serialized novel. Do you want to tell us a little about that?
Well, first I wanted to say about Breaking Bad, I have unconfirmed reports that there's a police department in Pennsylvania that is doing drills and preparations for riots in the event that the ending of Breaking Bad is really, really terrible.
Well, good. Our government will protect us from the Breaking Bad riots of 2013.
That's funny. Is that a joke? Is that The Onion or is that real?
No, it's something I picked up on AR15.com.
Okay. I think it's just cops finding a way to give them themselves some more overtime.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, the reason I was calling was I was hoping to explain some details of the story that I've been publishing on your blog.
Yeah, our blog. It's our blog.
Yeah. Basically, the story is it's two things, really. One, it's a bunch of different strains of story ideas that have been rattling around in my head for a very long time, including that battleship story that I told you about on an earlier episode. And the other thing was, it comes from a Cracked article about a book written by a fellow by the name of Garrett Putnam Severus, who wrote a fascinating story. It was a follow-up to H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. But he created this incredible world of science fiction in which that story was written, but then nothing else happened, at least not to the best of my knowledge.
Huh. So tell us more.
Well, the world Severus created was basically a world where you have spacesuits and big space battles and all kinds of other fascinating concepts. Was said in the original Cracked article I first heard about this about that the work was the work of a hack, but this was basically hard science fiction written by an actual scientist of his time. It's just... he was a fairly good scientist for his time, it would seem, but he wasn't a very good writer.
So you're attempting to take the world he created and continue on that same storyline with your own words? Is that what the concept is?
Exactly. And
well,
it was also
tell us more about what happens. I guess from what I'm looking at now, it's the aftermath of a Martian invasion. Now, are these Martians, are they like native Martians that people just never knew were there that decide to conquest Earth for its resources or what?
Well, this is the thing. That gets into some very complicated things that happen later in the story. But basically, the... Most of what the story arc is going to be covering in the immediate future is going to be the influence of the Utopians, these creatures who live on Ceres, who come to Earth. Basically, as I mentioned, Utopos is basically LibPair out in outer space.
A libertarian paradise.
Right.
Exactly. And basically, it's all about how they, most of the story is about how they come to Earth and they start changing society, usually for the better, but not always.
Okay. So I think stuff like this is really important because I think there needs to be more fiction out there that has sort of a libertarian perspective. And now you say usually but not always. So there are flaws. Obviously, the Utopians don't live up to their name. Is that right?
Nope, not quite. But this is the thing, though, is that so much, and not just libertarian thought, but even more of socialist thought, communist thought, all that other sort of stuff, is about trying to create a quote-unquote utopian society. And as you and various other people have said, you know, LibPair is not going to be a utopia.
Right. Because nothing can be. There's no such thing as perfection. Humans are inherently flawed and always will be. And resources are scarce, and you'll never get rid of scarcity.
Mm-hmm. But this is the thing, though, is that certain resources will always be scarce. I mean, the question asked, you know, when you start talking about really advanced technology like perfected 3D printers, space travel, all that sort of stuff, the questions of which resources are going to be scarce...
Right.
Becomes kind of an open question.
Yeah. And a very interesting question. I mean, you saw the erasure of scarcity when it comes to information with the digital age and the internet. I mean, books and papers and documents, those used to be scarce. There used to be they'd have to be printed and stored somewhere, and there'd be a certain number of copies that you'd have to make sure you had for redundancy. And now we live in a world where that kind of stuff is no longer scarce, and so that's no longer a question. And it's changed things. That little economic fact has changed the world immensely. And so as you move forward with technology, there could be other things that no longer become scarce. And is that sort of what you're grappling with here in your story?
This is exactly it. I mean, what we're talking about here is the technology that has changed just over the past few years now. What I'm talking about in this story is essentially even more advanced technologies coming online further in the past and the upheavals and chaos that these sort of things would cause.
Okay. Well, that's great. I'm more interested than I was because I've been kind of really busy lately. So I must admit I haven't read these yet. But they are on freedomfiends.com/blog. And I've clicked on it now. You can actually click on Hesperus and you can go to his archive and just go through these. I think you're up to chapter 8 now. Is that right?
Yes, A Land of Green Pastures.
Okay. All right. Well, I encourage the Fiend audience to go check that out. Like I said, Fiend fiction, and even non-Fiend but libertarian fiction is really important because storytelling, conceptualizing, this is kind of the stuff that helps drive the ideas. I mean, Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, right? That was a fiction, but it led to things like the FDA. It led to real world consequences because of the things that were put in people's heads that they could then visualize. And so I think the Liberty Movement needs much more of stuff like this.
Yep.
All right.
Most assuredly, yes.
Thank you for your call, man.
Thank you so
stuff.
Much for your call.
And keep it up. We like the story.
Thanks.
Worms.
Bye. Worms.
Yeah. So, Nima.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I think there needs to be more Liberty Media because, you know, I talk a lot about how I watch these cop shows that are totally statist, but it's like the good drama on TV and in movies tends to be cop-tastic stuff. And the world should have more stuff where government goons aren't the heroes.
They're not the problem solvers. Yeah. Because, you know, and we went off on that yesterday that – not only is it public schools that indoctrinate people into looking to the state as their savior and looking to government collectivization as the organization driving humanity, but instead, you know, it's a lot of the cop shows and the movies and things like Independence Day and what's the new one now, White House Down, where, oh, that's the biggest tragedy in the world. Like, that's the apocalypse, that the White House would be under attack because we no longer have Washington, D.C. And like you alluded to earlier, we're just waiting on that to happen. We're counting down to the government shutdown and hope that not
government
only –
government shutdown countdown.
Yeah.
Day four.
I want more than just the fake shutdown they're talking about to happen. I'd love to see the essential services, quote unquote, shut down at some point. You know, I don't think society's ready for it. But.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say that's horrible. You want old ladies to die, but what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I want the state to cease to exist, and I think, you know, I do believe that people have to have the ideological setting or foundation for that first. So I don't know if everything went away at this moment, if we'd be able to win the intellectual war on what happens next, and I do fear some sort of descent into violence. So I guess it was kind of hyperbole, me saying I want the essential services to be cut out.
At least not now, man.
But I do want them eventually.
I'd rather be in Wyoming than Austin when that happens.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I have my escape route. You know, we've got a family farm out north of Austin. So.
An undisclosed location.
Undisclosed location, yeah. We've got pomegranate trees to go make ourselves some sugar syrup and all that kind of good stuff. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end there. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, not bums. Yeah.
Yes.
So donate to us via Bitcoin. That would be very nice.
And we're not saying, I don't think, when we say that joke for Bitcoin not bombs, we're not saying get rid of the bums. We're saying empower them to not be bums by having an economy that's not controlled by the government.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because bums are much less likely to get their Bitcoins stolen from them than they are their coins, their actual coins.
Yeah, and when government does charity, there's so much waste. You know, think about it. Think about the $300 a month they give someone as a welfare check. The government probably spends $5,000 to get someone that $300. Mm. And they steal it from you, and you don't have any choice in it.
They steal it from you. That's the important point, too. Davy Barker actually told a great story. I can't remember the guy's name. Maybe you do. But there was a bum in San Francisco found an old shoeshine box in some trash somewhere and decided to start his own shoeshine business. He bought himself a suit from, I guess, a secondhand store and, you know, decided to start shining people's shoes the old-fashioned way and started making a bunch of money.
Did the government stop him?
They did. Yeah.
That's my guess. I've not heard this story, but I just could tell where this was going.
I don't know how it ended or where it's at now, but he started making a decent amount of money. He pulled himself up by his shoe straps and shine shoes and built a following, and people liked it. And he became kind of a local celebrity. And a local paper, I think, or some local media outfit did a story about him. And then he got contacted by the city government, I think, saying he owed them a bunch of money for a permit. And that he
See, the government wants people on welfare. They don't want people to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, because when they can control people and when they can threaten to shut down and not send out the checks that are like heroin to people and often used on heroin, you know, they can scare the people in the nice houses by saying, well, we can turn off this hose of money to the poor people, and those people will right. come kill you in your home for your food. And right. it's just, they want to control people. That's why they want people on welfare. They want yeah. farmers on welfare, on subsidies. They want corporations on welfare. And if you use Bitcoin and silver and gold more, you are taking that power away from them. And do it quietly. Right, do it quietly, too.
What's the biggest thing that the state or the government controls? It's the money supply through the Federal Reserve. You know, they have their finger on that, their hands around the neck of the financial system through that. And, you know, it's based on political decisions. Just like when people talk about NASA and the space program, you'll get people like Neil deGrasse Tyson saying, well, we just need to think of if we spent this much money on NASA, how much better the world would be. And I say no, because it would still be based on politics, not based on market demand
and there'd
or
be
anything
a,
like that.
And if you give NASA more money, the result is a drone above every home.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas people like SpaceX to a lesser extent and Virgin Galactic to a much greater yeah. extent are paving the way for the kinds of things that Neil deGrasse Tyson wants, space exploration and things like that, without any hands around their neck, government boots on their grounds, their private property, telling them what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and what the eventual use would be. So there are models out in the world for achieving great things without having those great things being achieved at the expense of other people's resources, which is all the government can do, is redirect resources that aren't theirs to redirect in the first place.
Yeah.
And so that does that is part of our tweak and review was Virgin Galactic and SpaceX. We also talked about Eric Haroun. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. I think it's Harroun. He was a former Iraq veteran, fought in Iraq on the American side from 2003. I mean, obviously the Iraq war didn't start in 2000, at least not the current incarnation. But he decided to fight for the Free Syrian Army of his own volition and then transferred, I guess, to the other outfit in Syria, one of the other outfits, the Al-Nusra Front, which many consider a terrorist organization, and was arrested. He got off with time served, but he was arrested. Whereas Obama and the folks up there in D.C. are regularly helping those organizations out, why don't they get arrested? How come the CIA agents aren't getting arrested? You know, important questions. And we'll have more answers on the Freedom Fiends Wednesday show. Do join us for our non-radio show recorded podcast. And join us next weekend as well when we'll be on in Barstow. Some more live radio for you. So thanks so much. This has been the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.